So brief introductions with your name, where you're from, your dog's name, and also the school. So we're going to have a volunteer that will be walking around with the mic.
If you want, or do you have somebody else?
We have one.
I've got one.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. So what I'll do is, I guess we'll start at this table, because I already told you my name. So my dog is Cora. I have given her a middle name, Cora Colleen. And she's from Guide Dogs for the Blind. And then I'll go.
My name is Charlene Ornelas. I'm from San Diego. My dog is Riggs from Guide Dogs of America.
My name is Vita Zavoli. My dog's name is Violet. I'm from San Leandro, and she is a German Shepherd from Seeing Eye.
I'm Beth Berenson, and I'm auntie to a whole bunch of dogs, specifically Violet and Jeep.
I'm Frank Welty from San Leandro. They tell me I'm GDUC president, and my dog is Jeep, and he was trained at Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Check. Is this on?
I'm Lena Dawes. My dog's name is Charity. I live in Sacramento, but I'm from LA. And Charity was trained at Guide Dogs of America.
My name is Daryl Dawes. I currently don't have a dog. But my last dog that I did have was from GDA, or Guide Dogs of America, and his name was Hondo.
Oh, this way.
Jeff Tom, I retired my cane last year, but then after getting a really bad cane, I brought him back out of retirement this year, and he is serving me well. He has no name.
Good afternoon. This is Debbie Cordero. I do not have a dog, but I would dog sit when Donna and Mitch would go traveling. Thank you.
I'm Gina McGoy from Alameda. I also have a cane that is really making my wrist very sore. And on June 1st, I am going to replace it with a dog from GDB.
Is that everybody?
I thought it was somebody asking me if I wanted water. Albert Rizzi, I'm from New York, and I have Doxology, affectionately known as Doxy, and he's from the Guide Dog Foundation in New York.
Hi, everybody. I'm Becky Barnes-Davidson from Guiding Eyes for the Blind, and I live in Mount Kisco, New York, and my dog is Lawson, L-A-W-S-O-N, and actually from Guiding Eyes for the Blind.
Hello, you guys. This is Pam Metz. I live in Southern California, Chatsworth to be exact. Kingston is a male yellow lab from GDA, and he is almost seven.
Hi, my name is Penny Valdivinos, and I live in Bakersfield. I have a guide dog from the CNI, and his name is Earl, and he's 5 years old.
I'm Diane Deutsch from Tehachapi. I have she's considered a yellow Labrador, but she's more red. She's from Guide Dogs for the Blind. Her name is Shayla Marie. My sister said all girls need a middle name. And she just turned 7 last Friday.
I'm Dane Gear from Bakersfield, and my guide dog's name is James from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Hey, everyone. It's Jim Power from Guide Dogs for the Blind. I'm a GDMI.
Hi, I'm Diane from San Jose, California, and I have Layla, a black lab, and she's already 8 years old. Time flies.
Hi, I'm Linda Porrell. I live in San Francisco, and on May 20th, I'll be celebrating my first anniversary with my adorable little girl guide dog, Tamar. That's T-A-M-A-R, Tamar.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is David Jackson. I'm from San Francisco, and my guide dog's name is Rolo, and I've got Rolo at GDB.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Joseph Lopez. I'm from Santa Barbara / Goleta, and my cane is my guide dog. So everybody have a wonderful day.
My name is Joni Patchy, and I am from Sacramento, and my guide dog is named Amorette, and she's a Golden Lab Cross from GDB.
Hi, I'm Linda O'Neill, and my guide dog is from Guide Dogs for the Blind, and she's a black lab named Mara Lee.
Bill Gillespie from Santa Rosa, California. I have a retired guide dog at home, and he'll be 12 this year.
My name is Mike Del Ross. I'm a licensed guide dog instructor representing Guide Dogs of the Desert.
Hello, everybody. I'm Nellie Emerson. I live in Norco, California, and I have a male German Shepherd named Atticus, who's 2 years old, trained by Seeing Eye.
Bernice Kandarian from Mountain View, California.
My name is Roger Peterson. You may remember I had some mentoring duties from the CCB board last year. Came back to find out how y'all were doing, and this is a biographical sketch that I don't usually get to give. I had a female German Shepherd named Sari, S-A-R-I, whom I received from Guide Dogs for the Blind in 1959, and a second dog, male German Shepherd named Silas, that I received in 1965, and that was the end of my dog career. That was in a prehistoric days of Guide Dogs or something.
My name is Margie Donovan. I'm from Folsom, California. I have a male German Shepherd from the Seeing Eye named Groton, G-R-O-T-O-N, rhymes with rotten.
Hello, my name is Ron Brooks. I am from Los Angeles, easternmost suburb, Phoenix. I have a Seeing Eye dog, Labrador. A golden retriever cross named Potter, and I just want to tell you now, he's already had a biscuit and a chocolate bar, so guard your food. He doesn't care.
He's a lab.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christy Crespin. I'm from Highland, California. I have Caroline the Labradoodle from Guide Dogs of the Desert, and she is 6, and yes, you guys can pet her. She's very soft and cute. And she knows it.
I'm Kate Del Ross, and I'm just here as a guest.
Okay, folks, thank you so very much. It's great to hear everyone in the room, some familiar voices and some new voices as well. Just a little preview. We have, through generous donations from the Guide Dog Schools and then also from donations gathered by GDUC and members of the organization, we have 22 door prizes today. So that means that most of us will be walking away with something a little extra in our hands, which is nice, very nice. So what I'd like to do is, first of all, to start off with our updates from the schools. So since I know him, I'm going to start with Jim Power from Guide Dogs from the Blind. And each school can take about, 10 minutes? 5 minutes. My boss just told me 5 minutes. So about 5 minutes or so for an update. Okay, Jim, take it away.
Thanks a lot. So with 5 minutes, I'm going to keep this pretty short, and I want to open it up for any questions. The big news is that we've got a new CEO this year, hooray, after almost a year without one, and a big sort of executive search. Her name is Chris Benninger. And we're all really hopeful that we've kind of hit the mark this time. It's no secret that Guide Dogs over the last 10 years or no has had a bit of a struggle finding some leadership that was a really good fit. So hope we've done that this year. She comes to us with a pretty solid background. She ran a Humane Society in Silicon Valley for 17 years. With a really progressive approach. I don't know if you guys have ever visited a humane society in your area, but they tend to be these sort of prisons for dogs that hide out in sort of back little corners, and they're not really an integral sort of part of the community. And Chris really kind of flipped that perspective and built a community center approach to the Humane Society and raised $25 million and really kind of put it as a centerpiece for the community, which really just sort of flip the perspective, and now it's a central part of their community, and she's saved lots of dogs' lives and raised a lot of great money for a great cause. She also has a great background in business. She worked as an auditor at Arthur Anderson and Company for 15 years, and also at Hewlett-Packard, and has an MBA for Stanford University. So we're all real hopeful that she is going to set us in a sort of a positive course and positive direction that Guide Dogs hopes to be on in the future. We opened our new student residence facility, and it really does just seem like a much more comfortable environment, as you guys have all probably experienced who have come to Guide Dogs or any of the Guide Dog schools. For a lot of time, they were more designed for sort of mass housing of people without a whole lot of thought towards comfort. Now it's more kind of like coming to a hotel. You have your own room with wireless internet and your own, refrigerator, that sort of thing. Thank you. Flat screen TV. And one of the nicer parts is the design of the dormitory is built in a U shape, which puts the relieving area in the center. So instead, those days are gone of lining up for 10, 15 minutes, standing out there for 10 minutes in the rain, and everybody putting on their rain gear. It's all covered with a plexiglass see-through roof, so you're standing out there in a nice, comfortable area. And the center courtyard has really become sort of the gathering place for a lot of the clients who are coming, and just a much more comfortable place to be. And then all the other things that you would expect for just sheer comfort, as well as going to a 2-week class and a 2-to-1 student instructor ratio. You're just spending a lot more time, harness in hand, working with your instructor, giving you a lot of the criticism of some of the big schools as opposed to the boutique schools, is you couldn't get the sort of individual education plan and individual attention. And we really feel like that's turned 180 degrees for us. no more riding on the big buses. You go out with one instructor and one other person in a van, so they can split the classes up into multiple environments and really get you to the places that you want to be rather than the ones that guide dogs wanted you to be at. Well, let's see what else. We also renovated the Oregon campus, so it's much, well, it's not quite as new and shiny as the San Rafael campus. It has the private rooms, and it's very comfortable for people also. We had our fourth alumni reunion this year. That was kind of a celebration of the residence facility and then just everybody getting together. And it was a great time. I was there, and just like coming to these, I find these such a rewarding experience that can come and sort of rekindle some old relationships and build some new friendships, and it's just was a real pleasure seeing everybody. And then a couple other minor things, but I think I'll leave those and just turn it over, because we only have 5 minutes, to see if anybody has any questions. There were some changes at Guide Dogs, and I want to be able to discuss any of those, and so I'll give it a minute to see if anybody has any questions, and if not, I'll relinquish the floor. Go ahead. Okay, it looks good. All right, I'll pass this on to Becky.
I have chicken in my mouth.
Oh. Okay. I will hear him. She's eating. I will be the interim person for the moment. Please hold for Becky.
Hi, I think Jim did that on purpose. He saw me put that piece of chicken in my mouth, and he said, I'm going to turn it over to Becky.
Okay.
Hot potato. Anyway. I'm with Guiding Eyes for the Blind in Yorktown Heights, New York. We've been around since 1954. We have a number of programs through which people can get our guide dogs. We have a 3-week class schedule for everybody. We, instead of having 11 classes a year, now have 12. And our student-instructor ratio in the general class is 2 or 3 to 1. We also have a home and away program, primarily for people who've worked guide dogs before, although they don't necessarily have to be from Guiding Eyes. Or for people who just can't be away from home for that long, where you're on campus for 10 days and then work at home with an instructor for the additional 5 days. And that is a one-on-one or two-on-one instructor-student ratio. We also have a special needs program that serves people who are blind but have additional disabilities, such as balance issues. We serve. We have a fairly substantial deafblind program, and several from California. We have several graduates here in California from our deafblind program. And we have a home training program for people who can't get away at all for family or work reasons. And although it's primarily for people who had guide dogs before, it's not limited to that. It's just if you have not had a guide dog before, your home training is just going to be longer. We actually just got a new CEO. Our CEO of 20 years, Bill Badger, decided he'd had enough work and wanted to retire. I think the winter did a lot of us in. But our new CEO came to us from National Industries for the Blind. He is... has experience in the blindness community. He is a guide dog user. He'll be graduating with his first Guiding Eyes dog on Saturday, next Saturday. And prior to being at NIB, he had corporate experience in Chicago. His name's Tom Panic, and he's actually going to be running the Boston Marathon next week. So, yeah, we're pretty excited. Very energetic, and we're very excited that he has both the perspective of a guide dog user and the work experience in both business and in the blindness community. So he's only been with us, he's been with us about 6 weeks now, and we're very excited about that. Our dormitory is single rooms with fridges and Wi-Fi and cable TV. We got cable. It's not great cable, but it's cable. It's you work with what you got. And we have a training facility in White Plains, which is a medium-sized city about half an hour from where Guiding Eyes is located. So we do a lot of training there. It gives us a wider variety of travel environments, everything from residential streets to train platforms and then all of that kind of thing. And a couple days before graduation, Our students all go to Manhattan that want to go to Manhattan with a one-on-one with an instructor and do the New York thing. And it's really a lot of fun because even if you never do it again, I think any of us who live in cities or near cities end up with a wonderful understanding of what it is your dog is doing for you, especially first-timers. So it's very exciting. So I will stop and see if anybody has any questions. Yes, Margie.
And we'll only have time for one question.
This is Margie Donovan. And I have a question for you, Becky. Guide Dog Users of California has been made aware through our advocacy committee of a couple of applicants in California who have applied to Guiding Eyes. And we've actually seen one of the letters was turned denied because they lived in California and Guiding Eyes couldn't serve students in California. We found that to be a bit awkward given that you guys have a licensed instructor. So could you please address that?
I'm assuming that it's a misunderstanding because we have lots of graduates, a number of graduates in California. So I'm guessing that there was another reason. There was at some point some discussion whether one of our instructors in the home training department wasn't licensed in California, and if the person wanted home training, there was some discussion about whether they could do that or not. But I am honestly not aware of anybody being turned down simply because they're from California.
Thank you, Becky. Okay, so our next school, let's check and see. John Ross, are you currently have anything in, are you able to speak at this point? Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Great.
Mike Del Ross.
Oh, Mike Ross.
Yeah, Mike Del Ross.
Oh, Mike. Oh.
Can everyone hear me okay?
No, we're going to get you a mic.
Yeah, actually.
No, give me a microphone.
Here we go.
Right here.
I'm happy to use the microphone. Usually I talk so loud, I don't use a microphone. It's a pleasure to be here today. I've been licensed in the state of California to train guide dogs since 1986. I worked in San Rafael for 28 years. And in the last 3 years, I've been working on a contract basis with my good friend Bob Wendler, who sends all of you his best wishes today. Bob's been in the field for a long time. He's a great guy. And it's always a pleasure to do some work for him whenever he needs it. I've primarily do training in my house, dogs that we're preparing for special needs. One of the projects I had recently was a dog that had to provide balance for a client. Previous to that, I trained a dog that had was the ability to detect low blood sugar. And that's one of the great things about Guide Dogs of the Desert is it's a small school. They put out about last year 28 teams. They have about 90 dogs in puppy raising homes right now, 90 puppies. And their success rate of dogs that they are able to use, not necessarily just for guide dogs, is 70%. Which means they're using dogs for helping autistic children. They're using them with servicemen returning with post-traumatic stress syndrome. They've really take the initiative to work with other community-based organizations that provide services to many of our fellow Americans. And they also work with clients internationally. So it's great that Guide Dogs of the Desert can continue to provide a different opportunity, a different experience. They have a great deal of flexibility with their guide dog training. It's based on praise and touch with consequence based for behaviors that aren't appropriate, but they're able to add flexibility into their program because they are small. And it's just great for the consumers in California that this school is still healthy and doing quite well. So as I said, it's a great pleasure to be here today. And Bob sends, as I said, his best wishes to all of you. And I hope if you're ever down in the Palm Springs area, you have an opportunity to check out Guide Dogs for the Desert. And if you're ever looking for a different guide dog experience, you should check it out for maybe your future guide dog needs. Thanks for having me here today. Does anybody have any questions? Pardon?
I said, don't
Don't ask Margie, okay. All right, thanks again.
Okay, and our last update is from Guide Dogs of America. Guide Dogs of America, who they are actually having a graduation tomorrow, so they weren't able to have a rep here, but our secretary, Charlene, is going to give a brief update. So, Charlene?
And this update comes from Patty. She is the new student liaison, or whatever, coordinator, that's what I was saying. This is the heavy time for her working because of the new class graduating. So I'm going to read what she sent me as an email. We are in our 66th year. We are small by design, graduating 45 to 50 teams a year. Most often used breeds are the Labrador Retrievers, although we do occasionally have a Golden Retriever or a Golden Retriever Labrador cross, and we are now puppy raising German Shepherds for the future. Yeah. This year we are not having our open house, but are having an online auction in its place, as we are having a groundbreaking at the April graduation for a new building project. The Phil and Mackie Singer Visitor and Education Center, which will be under construction this year. She is looking forward to sharing this new construction project with everyone once it is completed and tours are available. Only questions about our school or application information, please contact Patty Elzondo, Administration's Graduate Services Manager, Licensed Instructor, Guide Dogs of America. And the groundbreaking will be tomorrow for the new facility. And if people want to know, that are familiar with the campus, where it is, there was an empty area that was used for parking to the side of the school. That is where the new building will be, so there will be no parking for the open house, and that's why they had to cancel it. And since Patty's not here, I'm really not taking questions. Especially from Margie.
All right. Thank you, Charlene. Okay, I have one quick announcement. Eventually, dessert will be coming, and I just want to let folks know it's chocolate and peanut butter, so if you have a peanut allergy, to let the server know. We are going to do a couple of raffles. So we'll get a volunteer. So if you can get your tickets ready, and if you need assistance. And while we're getting ready for the raffles, I'd like you to ponder and think about, if you're not currently a member of GDUC, we would love to have you join us. We have, so the membership is $20. You'll learn more about what that is all about, but I can just tell you, for someone that has recently joined, even though I've been a guide dog handler for quite a while, that it is a great community, that we're about advocacy, and also when it comes to being able to work together on programs where we can learn from each other, not only at convention, but throughout the year. So, and today we had a session that was given by Carla Campbell that was a wonderful program that in itself would have been the cost of membership. So Vita, assisted by Margie, will be in the back of the room at the end of the luncheon, and we encourage you to either renew or join us. And does everybody have a raffle ticket? Okay, so we'll start with one. Pick a prize.
So, I'm not. Our first prize is a yellow puppy donated by Guiding Eyes for the Blind. A stuffed puppy, not a real puppy.
Okay. Does everybody have their tickets out? Look at your tickets. It's 005. Last three numbers, 005. And I know it's at this table off. Okay. Take this over there. Run it.
Okay. The next prize is a dog toy. It's a Zogoflex, and it's an orange bone shape. These Zogoflex toys are great.
Mm-hmm. And the winning number on that is 008.
All right. Yeah. Our next prize is a bone-shaped waste dog dispenser.
The number on this one is 024.
Okay, I'll take the mic back. And then, okay, so while that, and as I mentioned, we'll just keep on sprinkling out those prizes. No pun intended there. What I'd like to do is we will have a volunteer that will have a mic. And I mentioned that we have we had a planned program for this convention. And what we would love to hear is just a few moments of conversation where you can think about and then raise your hand and tell us if there was a program, topic, or speaker that you would like to see at a future convention or a future telephone conference. And if you raise your hand, a volunteer will come, and I need to get my Victor stream. So if anyone has any ideas for a program?
This is Christy, and I do. A lot of people have some difficulties with behavioral concerns, or, for instance, I was talking to someone who got a dog from a school, and the guide work is wonderful, but the social house manners are horrible and dangerous. No, I'm actually not describing yours, but Ron's laughing. But you know what do we do, and what are some tips and tricks, and when do you bring in a behaviorist or not? And so that would be a good discussion. Dealing with, I know I don't like barking dogs, and Caroline's terrible. I want to kill her every time someone comes to the door or something. So, you know, what do you do?
Okay, great. So I heard some behavior issues to work on those, house manners, including barking. So that's great. Any other suggestions for programs?
Emily Simone, formerly from Guide Dogs for the Blind, worked with the police department in San Francisco, and I think she would be great to have come to do some kind of a program for us on dog attacks and how to work with our local police departments.
Thank you so much. That's a wonderful suggestion. Okay, you can continue to give it one more. Great.
Yeah, I would say a specifically guide dog access advocacy workshop that could include, for example, role-playing appropriate ways to deal with situations when you're refused service, exactly what your rights are in these different situations, who to turn to when these things happen, just good nuts and bolts. All right, the cab driver drives away. What do you do? The jerk in the restaurant says, no dog, no dog. What do you do? You know?
Excellent. So not only how to handle it, but some practice handling it. Great.
I have one suggestion, and it would be having a panel on a conference call of how to choose and decide on a guide dog school. What school you want to go to, what type of school you want to attend, what type of program you want. I think that's a good topic for us to have once. It's a good topic.
So a panel on a call for selecting the best school for your needs. Perfect.
Hi, this is Ron. And so I liked Frank's idea, but I'd like to make it a little bit more less political and more practical. And I don't mean that yours was impractical, but everyday stuff. That I'd love to have a little bit of fun role-playing with all of the social interactions that we all have to deal with all the time. You know, oh, that's just such a lovely dog, and people that want to crawl on the ground with them and, you know, do all the stuff that they do. And, you know, man, we are half hampered by the other people with guide dogs who just encourage it. And then the ones of us who actually want to do something about it get, you know, we're the bad guys. And I would love to have a dialogue about how to deal with people and all the everyday interactions that we all face all the time.
Okay, I've had dogs from other schools, and sometimes some of the other schools might be teaching things that you find of interest or could be beneficial, and to discuss some of the things that we learn from other schools, or even possibly things that we've taught our dogs ourselves to do, like find the post in order to push a push button. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great, great suggestions. One more.
Being new to GDUC and being new to the guide dog community, I would be very interested not in doing this, but in learning about owner-trained dogs. I have a lot of friends who train their own dogs. I don't know what goes into that, and I think it might be an interesting topic to understand how they do that and what's important to them. So when we do advocate for access issues centered around some of the things that Frank was working on, we can incorporate their thoughts into the process.
Wonderful. Thank you, Albert.
I think that we should, you know, have a topic on how to deal with these dogs that come into the store. They're like really yappy, and they want to like try to bite my guide dog. And try to, you know, figure out how we can change that, and educating people on what the difference is between a real service dog and just someone that wants to bring their pet with them.
So dealing, I call those the Nordstrom's dogs. So dealing with those dogs that are there, and the store people are not going to do anything about it, and meantime they're yapping at our dog. Okay, wonderful. Those are fantastic suggestions, and you can feel free to, if you're a member, you can share any other suggestions for future program ideas through our list. If you're not a member, join, and then share your ideas and come through. So how about another few dog prizes?
All right. Our next prize is a sterile bone.
And that winner is 001.
Number one.
Was it that table? I don't think he's there. He was the guy that was sitting in that. That's the instructor from Guide Dogs for the Blind. Yeah.
I guess he doesn't want it.
He's out of the room, so. I just happened to remember who I gave the first ticket to. The next one is what?
Another poop bag holder.
Okay, and that goes to 0032. Okay. Okay. Since the instructor isn't here, that goes to the bone, the sterilized bone?
Yeah. We'll someone had a 001 that was not the instructor. So that was given away.
Oh, okay. Okay. We found that one. Okay, here's the.
And then next we have a bag with some goodies, a mug, and a hat.
This is from Guide Dogs of America. Zero, zero, 0016.
All right.
How many more? Keep going.
And next, we have another Zoco Flex toy that's a boomerang shape. We call it the Boomy.
0015. We're going to keep going.
Another poop bag hole dispenser.
025.
That's me.
Oh.
We need two in the panel.
We already have thousands of poop bags in the house.
I don't like these things.
And then we have a bully stick. It's a chew thingy.
It's like a tendon for the dogs. 019. Oh, guess who got that one? It's in my pocket. Yes, it's in my pocket.
Another poop bag dispenser.
Oh, thank you. Oh. 007. Okay. Right there. He got the poop bag thing. Zero, 027.
And I have another sterile bone.
004. I will give credit.
Check.
Give credit to the sterilized bones, that tendon thing, and they'll be coming up at some dog treats. Were donated all from a gentleman who delivers dog food to me. He donated 9 prizes.
And that's what I have next is the dog treats, liver flavored.
Did we?
Oh,
did we do 004?
Oh. Did somebody get? Did we do 004?
Yeah. Okay. Zero, 013. 013. Is there a number? Get excited. Yell mine.
Hello? Yeah, we need to know.
Call it out. Another poop bag dispenser. Somebody must think of something. I don't know what we don't say about it.
029. 029. The first number is 0. The next number is 1. And if your last number is an 8, you got it.
18. Hey, who's that?
Yes.
And next we have an organizer bag from Guide Dogs of America. Cool. Kind of a travel organizer.
Wow.
Has 3 pockets to it that zip, all 3 of them zip shut. It has a little hook at the top, or loop, so you can hang it up on over a hook. That number is 010. Otherwise known as 10. A poop bag. And that goes to, I'll just read the last two. That goes to number 12.
Oh my God, oh my God. And then another bully stick, a chew-thin-free dog.
Number 14. All right. To 28.
That's me. And a poop bag dispenser. We're almost done with those.
To number 26. Number 26.
Anyone have 26?
Somebody's got 26 because I have the stub to it. Going once? Oh, he's got it. Okay. You got to say something if you pass them out, because I don't know.
And a sterile bone.
To number 21.
Oh, yes. Oh, auntie? And a poop bag dispenser.
How about something for number 020? Number 20. To number 9. Number 9.
And the last poop bag dispenser.
Yay! Number 22. Number 22.
That's actually kind of funny.
Huh?
That's not kind of funny.
Yeah.
That ends up being a number 2.
It's a double number 2. That's it.
Check his number.
We tried.
And our last prize. Oh my gosh, and your dog really wants this one, Alice. A sterile bone.
And the number is 003. Okay.
Sorry, baby, you want something different. And that's all. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. What I have, no, I want to finish here first. I'm going to do something. I have some items that I used for sorting money. They're coupon holders, and there's a pocket for ones, a pocket for fives, a pocket for tens, a pocket for 20s, and then in the back you can put bills over 20, and unsorted bills. They have an elastic closure on it. I brought a bunch of them with me extra. If I run out, I will give anybody who did not win a prize comes to me, I will give you one of these that I have. I have some more up in my room, but if I run out, I still have more at home, so I'll see to that you get one. I'll just mail it to you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Margie.
Yes, Margie.
We have forgotten to do a door prize. I would like to do the drawing for the Mutt Mat that was donated by the Mutt Mat Company. We are also selling them. They are a value of $32. This is our grand prize.
Oh, because we still have people that haven't won.
It's up to the chair. Alice, how would you
like? Oh, yeah. No. I say for those that are feeling like you're about to lose, you may be a big winner. So
there you go.
All right, a little drum roll here.
And when the person's ticket is called, I need to know who it is because we cannot give it to you until after our exhibits booth close, and I will get it delivered to your room. Thank you.
All right.
It's right in front of you.
Oh, I'm drawing for this. Mm-hmm.
And the ticket. Okay.
Okay, so here's the plan.
had a microphone.
Okay, the winning number is 0, 1. No, wrong. Let's try it again. The first number is 0. The second number is a 3. The last number is a number 1.
Yay! And who won it?
Who won it? Roger, you're going to have to get another guide dog.
Yeah.
Roger.
Do you want it?
Do you want it?
You know what? He'll probably bring it to our chapter and have us use it as a door prize. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you to Charlene and the volunteers for organizing that, and for the Guide Dog Schools and all the members that donated.
And it's 1 o'clock, and the next session starts at, or the next thing start, I think, at 1:30. And so there's time to relieve dogs.
Frank, do you want to say anything in closing?
This is Frank Welty, GDUC president. Reminder that we have folks in the back of the room who will get you signed up as GDUC members. That will last all the way through June 30th, 2015, right up through next year's convention. And don't forget that our booth is still open outside the door there, so you can purchase items, you can bid on our silent auction, because somebody can get that nifty Afghan out there, and plus the other good stuff. And the 50-50 tickets are still available. Make sure you're in on it. Good money.